people. It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeFlantis.
Yep.
For another day of broadcast influence on CLTV and WGN everywhere.
Here we are.
Until such time as the Chicago White Sox end their game. They're in a bit of a roll here.
Mm-hmm. And then don't they begin another game?
They begin another game at 6 o'clock Chicago time.
Got it.
So they won last night in convincing style. And now they're winning again in Detroit. And we know what Detroit does.
Sure.
And is.
We sure do.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. I hate to get all, you know, I'm not trying to incite ire or fear or division.
That's frowned upon.
But I am telling you, without fear of reservation, Detroit sucks.
Good to know.
It's science, my friend.
Go White Sox.
Exactly. and that doesn't just go for the Detroit Tigers. That goes for the Detroit Red Wings.
Sure.
That goes for the Detroit Lions.
Yep, that's especially true.
Yeah.
Sort of extends throughout the Detroit sports lineage.
Exactly. It goes for the Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That goes for everybody. All the different and associated Detroit entities.
Do people really use that chant, though, outside of the hockey?
Oh, world? Yeah. Football.
Football?
Yeah. Although...
they actually are really bad. That's probably why.
They didn't exactly, you know, when they were saying that, they didn't always exactly suck.
No. As a matter of fact, they kept winning the Stanley Cups. Yeah.
Which is why they sort of suck.
Separate issue. And that's why Chris Chelios always smiles awkwardly when that comes up. But
his son is playing now.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Now, my favorite thing in Chicago sports, though, without question,
mm-hmm.
without fear of reservation, is when you're going to or from Soldier Field at the south entrance, you go underneath an underpass.
Yep. Familiar with that?
And when you get underneath the underpass, mm-hmm. the chant, Green Bay sucks, is what you have to chant while you walk underneath that underpass. Even coming back from the Rolling Stones, people were doing that.
Yeah, they do.
Which I thought was pretty wild.
People get into it. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And even if they're not playing them. Imagine what it's going to be like that Thursday night when they kick off football against Green Bay at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Coming up here in about a month.
Not trying to cause any division or ire or... I'm not trying to pull people apart when we should try to be bringing them back together.
You sure are.
But I'm telling you that Green Bay sucks.
And also, I read on a fan blog site that Aaron Rodgers is a horrible person. I'm sure it's true. Can't get along with anyone. It's what I read.
And he's stolen all my girlfriends. He has stolen them all.
That's true. He has.
Olivia,
you have crushes on.
Is Danica your girlfriend?
Yeah. My girlfriend for so long.
She's smitten. You should have seen what she was putting on Instagram at family night.
I'm going to throw up. Let me look at her Twitter handle.
Don't even.
Yeah. No. Look at her Instagram.
No, it makes me throw up because she's supposed to be an Illinois person, and she was a Bears fan, but now suddenly she's a Packer fan.
Well, she does come from Roscoe, which is right on the border. And that's
she's been a Bears border fan. Town. Worn a Bears hat. I've seen her many times, and now suddenly she's a Packer fan.
Remember when he burned to death in Game of Thrones? That was great.
Mm-hmm. I rewatched that over and over again.
Yeah, remember that?
Good times.
Even the Dothraki hated the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or she did, or whatever. The Queen of... I've forgotten that whole show. I don't remember what happened. But it was she's the queen of all dragon mothers.
No, right?
Daenerys was burning down all of King's Landing.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
You know what? I'm over it. Right. If you haven't seen it, it's your fault.
Right. So I'm just saying that I thought he wasn't coming back from that. And then finally she would understand my love for her. And apparently she does not.
Yeah, well, she was apparently at practice today.
What? That's good, though. I want her at practice. I want a distraction. I want it to be goofy. I want them to be making out like she's the head cheerleader.
Yeah, that didn't go well with Olivia. We had issues when he was dating her.
I know. People in Green Bay, they turned on her real fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, they're going to, you know what? They're going to have the sexual, and then the next thing you know, he's not going to be able to have the vigor and the vim to be able to throw the ball.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what they—that's what they're afraid of. That his essential oils will be sapped, and he won't be able to perform.
Well, she's there. Multiple sightings of her at practice.
Oh,
so
see?
It's already starting.
Maybe finally these two will. Maybe finally a love connection.
Again, I'm a fan of hers. I really am.
Again,
so
CLTV like finding a way to get a video of her and throw it up there. Just to make me nuts, and of him, of Aaron Rodgers.
And you know what? You don't want to mess with her, because not only is she tweeting Packer pictures, she puts up on Instagram her workouts. She is unreal.
Yeah. And a nice person, too. I've met her several times and interviewed her.
She's lovely, yeah.
She is. Yeah. She really is.
Again, another reason that we hate.
Yeah.
What's his name? I forget his name now.
Number 12?
Yeah, I don't
The other number 12, the one we don't like.
The green one.
The green, right. Green 12.
What, the big green monster?
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah. All right, I'm done now talking about it. Just saying. I was just trying to identify for you people, since we started with a conversation about the Sox being in Detroit, that, you know, I'm just trying to identify who sucks and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And for my money, Detroit sucks and Green Bay sucks.
True.
Don't like Minnesota that much either.
No.
I used to not like Tampa Bay for reasons I didn't even understand why.
Tampa Bay for
well, they were in the division in football.
Oh, yeah.
And they were in the Central. Again, it was an awkward choice to have the Bears, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit all in one division, and then Tampa Bay. And it was the only reason that Tampa Bay was in it was so that all the owners could go on vacation down there when their team would play.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Oh, my whole family's talking. Speaking of the Bears, talking about Matt Nagy throwing that touchdown. At practice.
Is there nothing he can add to?
I know. I mean, my gosh.
Say peanuts.
He just loves. Yeah, he's not good at that. Enunciation is not his thing.
That is unfair.
But we still like him.
That is unfair.
Why is that unfair?
Unfair.
You were on that train.
I don't want to distract him either.
Hey, we all have our words that we struggle to say.
Yeah. Peanuts.
Like cinnamon.
See, you can't do that.
Yeah, I struggle with that one.
Right. Can you say peanuts?
Peanuts, yeah.
Yeah. He can't.
I know.
I think the issue just comes back to being on that loudspeaker. You don't realize how much you have to.
When he was singing the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, you're just sort of doing the blah, 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 blah. You're singing along, and it doesn't matter. But if it's over like that type of a speaker, it does matter.
Penis and Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, it blends a little bit more.
Which was actually the name of my first film that I made.
Jeez. Like in high school?
Yeah. I was making an experimental film. It was called Penis and Cracker Jacks. It didn't go very well.
No.
Faculty didn't like the idea of it. It was in black and white, too.
Texter says it's pronounced Dutroit. I haven't ever heard that before.
Dutroit.
D-U-H.
No, Dutroit. Detroit.
It's D.
It's Detroit. Yeah, you got to go with the Ditka pronunciation of it. It's Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what he's saying is like, duh, like stupid.
Oh.
Well, that works.
Oh, look at you. Look at you speaking Texter. That's very good, Lauren Lapka.
I got many random skills.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV newsroom. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, they didn't need alligator Rob, but police nabbed another gator in Chicago.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. And who needs...
radio, guys.
Are you not hearing radio?
You have to do radio?
Hold on. I can't see Ben either.
No, I hear you, not him.
Do you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Ben. Oh, Ben.
We could say something bad about Ben.
Ben, the two of us need to look no more. Don't ask me to sing. Nothing?
I do not hear Ro.
Thank God.
And I am not...
Can you hear me?
Lip reading.
No.
I'm pretty good at lip syncing, but not good at lip reading. Now I hear myself, but I do not hear Ro.
This is well produced.
Now I hear Ro.
There
Hello,
we go.
Ro.
Hello,
Can
Ben.
Can you hear me, Ben?
Yes, every day reinventing the wheel at 3:20 here on CLTV and WGN Radio.
Oh, good.
It's going great.
Yes.
All right. Let's start with the news of Ivanka Trump tweeting about Chicago. What goes on there?
Well. She makes a valid point, right? She said, as we grieve over the evil mass shooting in El Paso and Dayton, let us not overlook that Chicago experienced its deadly weekend of the year. With 7 dead and 52 wounded, near a playground in the Windy City and little national outrage or media coverage, we mustn't become numb to the violence faced by inner city communities every day. So she gets her facts a little wrong, but it's a valid point, right? That in Chicago, and we talked about this on the air yesterday, in Chicago and many other big cities, you know, we are facing our own crisis every weekend, and in some cases every day. Her tweet seems to suggest that the 7 dead and 52 wounded all happened in one incident near one playground, which of course is not true, but it's nonetheless an inexcusable level of violence.
Weren't 7 shot near that playground? Is that maybe 7 shot, not killed?
Yeah,
I find this hard to believe that a Trump would get their facts wrong. Right. But in this particular case, the facts are slightly amiss.
I don't think she was manipulating him, though. I think she just got him wrong.
Well, you know what, though, Anna? This is
it's hard to tell.
This is the frustration I have always had, which is we all make mistakes, but you got to fix them.
Yeah,
and
or
this
own them.
Tweet is still up there. It's still not fixed. And, you know, for a lot of people, the mistakes just get, you know, absorbed as fact. And, you know, there are people out there in other parts of the country going, oh, my God, 7 people were killed and 50 shot at a playground in Chicago.
And no one's talking about it, right?
Right. And, yeah, this is proof that the liberal media is covering up for the big Democratic city.
Right. Exactly.
But, again,
that's exactly what they said on 8chan. Right? I mean, isn't that the point of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, listen, what we have beyond this failure to, you know, find common ground on things is we are now just throwing outrageous statements out. It's like talk radio. I mean, it is. It's like throwing out outrageous statements just to see who will bite. And that's the reality is, yes, 52 people were shot in this city over the weekend. 7 people were killed, which, you know, we've had worse weekends in terms of death toll, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how sick this whole thing is.
Pretty sad.
That it wasn't actually, it was a great number of people shot, but most of them were shot in the lower extremities, because in that one incident in which 7 people were shot, the guy was shooting out of his Camaro and was basically at knee height.
Right.
With them.
And some people were just shot while they were having a barbecue. I mean, they were just hanging out.
Yeah.
On a weekend, a beautiful weekend.
And it's terrible. I mean, that's a problem. And, you know, one of the things that if we could get to eventually, if we could somehow find a way to curtail straw buyers of guns, and that would, you know, that goes toward this notion of some background check issues, then I think that, you know, you'd see less carnage in the major cities, specifically in Chicago, because you do, one of the ways that you get a large amount of armament that comes into the city, it's not like these gangbangers own a gun, right? They don't legally own a gun.
No.
They are getting a gun through illegal channels, and it's not a gun that they're holding on to.
No.
It's a gun that basically they are renting. That is how this goes. This is not like, oh, I'm going to go to a shop and buy a gun. It's, I'm going to my buddy who just happens to have a shipment. There was a guy, as a matter of fact, got arrested. Was it over the weekend, last weekend? With 3 or 4 fully automatic Uzi-style weapons.
Right.
And he was back out on bail within hours. Well, where did he get that, and why is he out? Why is he walking around?
And it's interesting that the Chicago Police Department, you know, has really been talking about this issue for a long time, and is now just in the last 24 hours added a feature to the Chicago Police Department's website, tracking just how quickly some of these guys who get caught with weapons are able to walk out of the Cook County Jail. And just go over to the Chicago Police Department's website. It's really fascinating to see. We've done some reporting on it, as have other outlets. So you point that out, but then on the other hand, you know, you look at some of the numbers that say, and people want to say, oh, you know, it's low bond, and look at these, you know, it's all touchy-feely, and they're letting these terrible people out. You know, some of the statistics, though, show that actually some of the people who have been told, okay, leave, come back for your court appearances, and by and large are not committing new crimes, and by and large do come back for their court appearances. Now, when a guy is caught with an Uzi on the streets of Chicago, I think that is different. But let's not confuse You know, everybody wants to be able to boil it down to a tweet, right? Like, everyone wants to be able to pass public policy in 120 characters or less and come across with either a great shot or a great, you know, come across thinking they look smart. I got news. These are big, huge, complex problems. It's not just mental health. It's not just access to guns. It's not just violent video games. It's everything.
Well, the access is directly related to the carnage. Mental health and video games and all the rest of that stuff, that exists in a lot of places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got those issues. Those are constants throughout
right.
all populations. What we're dealing with here, though, is we are making it easier, whether it is through legal or illicit gun purchasing. And people go, we should stop the illegal gun purchasing. Okay, I'm for that.
Yeah.
I'm for you. Want to start with that first? Let's go. Let's start. Anybody who gets caught and charged with unlawful use of a weapon. Yep. Thank you, UUW. If they get charged with that, then they got to stay in jail, wait the outcome of their trial, mm-hmm. and. Make it a minimum 3-year bid like they do in New York. New York City doesn't have this problem.
But that's not happening, especially when they haven't shot someone with that gun. They're just
right.
found with it because
right.
it's considered nonviolent. And because of our new movement to crack down less upon people and give people more chances who are nonviolent criminals, they are largely going back on the streets.
And the gangs know this too, right?
They do.
Know that, you know, give the gun to a young kid to hold for a little while to
right.
transport, and they're more likely, you know, going to just get flipped out more quickly. So it's everything, right? Except for the fact that in America we have made it incredibly easy to kill very quickly. And I continue to be shocked. And again, Ro, you and I have talked about this. We've both shot guns. We both don't think, you know, a gun is in of itself an awful thing. But
should be considered a tool. I heard this yesterday, which I liked. It should be considered a tool, not a god. Go ahead.
Right. But, you know, this notion that I heard among some talk show hosts, you know, oh, well, this is proof that we need to have, you know, armed cops in every floor of every school and more, you know, good guys with guns. There was a good guy with a gun who responded within 30 seconds of the first shots fired in Dayton, and still 9 people died.
Yeah.
So is that cool?
No.
Right? Like,
and more cops are great, but who's going to pay for them and the pension? That's
right.
the other issue. And these are people that also scream about the taxes are too high, because the taxes are too high. But, I mean, it's a separate issue.
Right.
I mean, how do you fix that? And there are solutions. There are better solutions. And you know, the idea that the tweet that comes out of the White House right now is, well, look, it's the lowest unemployment rate ever for black people. What are they complaining about? What's all the trouble? What are they doing? That's the posture. Well, it isn't a low unemployment rate in the west side of Chicago.
No.
Or in the Bronx. Or in other places where there aren't businesses that are going in.
Right.
And that you've got people who are not... That are undereducated by comparison to the mean of the country.
But anytime the politicians, Democrat or Republican, sell the solution as simple, they're doing a disservice. You know, President Trump, in his inaugural speech, you know, said this American carnage stops right here, right now. Okay. You know, almost as simple as the mystery Chicago cop who told him he could solve violence in a week in Chicago. We have yet to see that. And I don't mean to just pick on President Trump, because, you know, certainly Democrats are guilty of, you know, offering Pollyanna solutions to ridiculously complex problems as well. But it just it's frustrating to me that there are so few adults having an adult-level discussion.
Or a willingness to have an adult solution. It's
yes.
sort of, we're so close to the election, how could we possibly solve this? Any of these problems? We need to keep the conversation and the vitriol going.
You know why Donald Trump's a genius? Because he realized something that no other Republican realized. You're not going to activate people. You're not going to get Republican voters excited about deficit reduction. It's not going to drag them out to the polls, right? That was basically was the argument that Republicans were using for two decades against Democrats. They're spending too much money, mm-hmm. and they're giving money to, you know, causes that are inefficient and wasteful. And sometimes that meant things. Sometimes that was intended to also pique that part of the brain of, you know, mm-hmm. they're just giving money to poor people or black people or whatever it is
right.
to your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never as direct as it is now. And Donald Trump realized, hey, you know, that's not sexy. It's not enough. I'm going right at it. I'm going to what these people, I'm going right into the vein, and I'm going to go right at what we know these people are thinking, and I'm going to win them over by just saying exactly what it is that they're thinking in their head. And it worked. And it may well work again.
Yeah.
Have a nice Tuesday, Ben.
Happy Tuesday.
I'm going to go do a shot of whiskey. We'll see you on the air at 4. Thanks for that pep talk, bro.
That's how it goes around here, too. Where's my bourbon? All right, thank you.
Yep.
All right, there he goes, Ben Bradley. Let's check in here. Should we do the news here, or does CLTV need to take a break? You do the news? All right. They just waved off CLTV like, yeah, whatever, they'll figure it out. Fine, I got your back. We'll figure you out. We'll get it all in. But first, let's talk to Kim about what's happening at the bottom of the hour here. Bro Concho with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Dr. J, John Najarian, famed expert on all things money.
True.
I would say would be the best way to describe it.
And a good calmer of nerves at times like these.
Yes. And
talks sense.
And one of the few men I know who could pull off a bandana properly.
Properly.
Yeah. There you go, sir.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Every time I look at
Billy Deck. Billy Deck also.
No, I don't think so. Oh, no. No, only
not like you.
Not like you. And I would also say every time I look at your Twitter or Instagram feed or whatever it is, he's like in the Alps, you know, skiing on two pieces of steak, or he's in the Greek Isles doing something, you know, eating something that's got a lot of tentacles coming out of it. I don't know. It's really...
He's enjoying his life.
Yeah, he does. He's a man who lives a very great life with a really great family. Now, having said all that...
Thank you, boss.
I would like to know what in the hell is going on here. The Dow down big yesterday, up kind of big today. It was down 3% yesterday, and it's up, what, like 1.5 or something today, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. It's making a bit of a rebound. It was, I don't want to say they telegraphed it, Ro and Anna, but they telegraphed it, mm-hmm. quite frankly, because the Fed chairman kind of painted himself into a corner, and that corner was that they were going to cut interest rates. And yet, all of the data that they claimed to be so dependent on was not really pointing towards the need of a rate cut. They could justify it by saying a whole bunch of other things, but certainly not for the data. And they decided, well, this might just be a preemptive move. And then the market started getting kind of weirded out by, well, if it's preemptive, but it's not showing up in the data yet, you think something really bad is right around the corner. And the Fed really didn't have a good comeback for them. And so when they didn't say that they were going to give us a series of rate cuts, which the markets were also hoping for, and then the president, the 1-2 punch was the president, of course, attacking and lifting higher the tariffs that he was going to put on China, and China reacting back. That's that witch's brew that took us down these, you know, 700 to 800 points over a 2-day period.
Well, talk about that response, too, because other than the devaluing their currency, they also took a pretty big shot at the U.S. by saying they're going to stop purchasing U.S. agricultural products. That certainly is something that we hear here in the Midwest and say, well, what's going on there? How long can this last?
Right. Well, and you're very accurate, Anna. They have threatened that for a long time, and most of the agricultural products that we ship actually... We do the same thing that they're doing. In other words, they ship a lot of product that's half completed to Vietnam, and then it gets sent to us as made in Vietnam, not made in China. And we kind of know the game they're playing when they're doing that. We are doing the same thing because we are selling a lot of soybeans to Brazil, which is a country that is so rich in soybeans, they don't need them, and they are selling them to China. So we're both doing this circuitous route. We go down through Brazil selling something that's allegedly going to Brazil that ends up in China, because China's buying from Brazil then, because they've got to have some form of proteins and things like that. So whether it's chickens, pork, or soybeans, they're buying our stuff through Brazil or other South American countries, just as we are buying through Vietnam and other Southeast Asian countries and pretending that it's not China.
Hmm. So when we get to the brass tacks here of the China relationship, what are we looking to gain here? What is the end game?
Well, that's a great question. And, of course, you need to be asking that to somebody who lives on Pennsylvania Avenue, not somebody at the
what would you like to
say? Rome. I think what he's trying to get, for the most part, Ro, is he's trying to get leverage so that the Chinese don't have the same leverage that they've had in terms of intellectual property. And it's not copying DVDs or movies or software, but it's actual source code for various people that want to do business with China. They want and they set down rules, laws, if you will, that it must be majority owned by China if you're going to do business there. And in order to do that, they want source codes and all this different intellectual property that even our, you know, that's one thing both parties agree on, I think.
Yeah.
Perhaps of the myriad of things that we disagree about, this is one thing that both parties agree, that China's a very large criminal activity in this intellectual property, whether it's listening to our cell phones and so forth, or whether it's the source code for various Google, Apple, Cisco, Oracle, whatever it is, anybody that does business over in China has more or less this toll to pay through their loss or theft of their intellectual property.
Yeah. All right. So the president is misrepresented. I know you find this hard to believe, John, but this did happen. The president misrepresented exactly how the American farmer is going to benefit from the tariffs by saying that we're getting paid all this money from the tariffs, and so we're just sending that right back out to the farmers. To which the farmers looked at each other and went, what is he talking about? Because that is A, not how tariffs work, and B, they have to line up for subsidies here. And we know a lot of people in the agribusiness, right? We're here in the Midwest. We know people who are
sure.
we know gentlemen farmers, and we know executives from the big agribusiness. And they don't want to be it's not good not only for their business to have to destroy crop. It creates a lot of inefficiencies. There's no way that this is good for the American farmer at the end of the day. And I understand we got to stop China at that level. Question is, how do we do it? And is this showdown something that China will go, okay, well, we'll wait you out? I mean, because this president won't last forever.
They would have waited us out. Here's several reasons that they can't, because that is one thing that we discuss all the time over at CNBC, is, well, they'll just wait and see if he's reelected or not. And the issue is, though, that their markets were down 27% last year, which is a big drop. Our markets, you can imagine what would happen if our markets were down 27%. People'd be not just pulling their hair out like me.
Yeah,
they'd be pretty freaked out. China can't afford that to continue, and yet it is continuing. And just as Larry Fink over at BlackRock or any number of executives have said, once you start your supply chain moving away from China, it's really tough to get it restarted, because there are already a whole bunch of Southeast Asian countries. I've already named Vietnam, but there's a host of others that will produce the same goods that China is producing and become your next supply chain representative or provider. So that means that thousands, if not millions, of jobs are being lost in China. China can't afford that, because that means riots in the street. And speaking of which, they also have that going on in Hong Kong. And the reason that that's such a big deal, Ro and Anna, is that they also have Taiwan to deal with. and they don't want people to step up and say, no, 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 you know, we're going to have to defend Taiwan against the Chinese. You've heard that when people say, well, it'll be a million-man swim, and that's what they used to say about Taiwan. Now it's China has enough of a navy that they could go after Taiwan, and if indeed they have to put down this revolt in Hong Kong, the next move that they probably make is on Taiwan. Well, so China's fighting a war on multiple fronts is what I'm saying.
So
they can't wait.
This is a big international issue. And
sure.
And we don't,
yes, sir.
I mean, and there are some issues at state and other places because they're, you know, you only got one guy essentially at state, Pompeo, because the diplomats underneath and all of the rest of that structure has been burned out over the last 3 years. So there's a lot of question about how we're going to, you know, do we have the right people in place? Now, it's John Huntsman, right, in China currently.
Yep.
And, he's a good solid hand to have there. But it's not making the situation better. I think there's been some inconsistency here. And when you stop and you look at what's happening in Hong Kong, there is no question that one of the reasons that the U.S. equities market is so hot as it is because international billionaires and corporations, they don't know where to park their money. They don't know where to get return on investment. And so the U.S. equities market seems like the safest port at the moment. And that has created a lot of problems in Hong Kong. Because Hong Kong was basically the Western-style marketplace for the Chinese government. And now you don't have that. The standard of living is down in Hong Kong. And they're trying to crack down in Hong Kong using Beijing-style tactics in what has been a free and Western city, even though it's in the Far East. And it's not going well. On the 20th anniversary True. Now mm-hmm. of the...
Right, you know, of the handoff.
Of the handoff,
yeah. All of what you said is true. And China can't really afford to have this continue and has said, I believe, Xi Jinping has said, look, you know, I've more or less given you guys enough rope to hang yourselves, and if I have to step up with the military and go in there, I will. Hmm. But that, like I say, then the next step, and that has nothing to do with, or very little to do with Trump's trade tariffs. That's not
right.
impacted Hong Kong negatively.
Right.
But Hong Kong wants the freedoms that they enjoyed under the British. But now, because of their leader in Hong Kong, the woman who runs the place, since she is a puppet of Xi Jinping's government, they really worry that the crackdown and the deportation of dissidents and things like that to right. China for trial is something. That's why those people are marching in the streets.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like I say, it's a real witch's brew. You've got that going on. You've got the worries about Taiwan and what would happen as far as is that the next step. And then you've got China hemorrhaging jobs because even though their currency is down dramatically, which means they can't afford to buy stuff from overseas in the same amounts that they were before because their currency has devalued to such an extent that I don't think they can continue this war, this trade war with us much longer because it really is a one-way war. We can keep tariffing them, even though, as you say, it doesn't benefit the farmers, but it certainly hurts China in a big way. It really weakens right. China.
It's a game of chicken.
And now they're going to have to fight.
It's a game of sweet and sour chicken that you think America can win. Did you see what I did there, John?
Oh,
did you see what I did?
I did.
It was not good. And one other thing in Asia that we should be looking out for, and we don't have time to talk about it today, but when you see stories pop up about this, about the friction between Japan and Korea and South Korea,
mm-hmm.
That also has a big impact on trade, especially in the automotive industry, right? And, you know, as it affects us, as it affects the United States. And it also has, the effect in just in the region and destabilizing the region. And I got to tell you something, you know, I very rarely ever jump up here and go, well, you know what? The president is being unfairly criticized for something. But in this particular case, in terms of Korea, North Korea, these missile launches by Kim Jong-un, the reason Kim Jong-un is launching missiles is because he's mad at the United States and South Korea for doing war games that the president last year canceled. And the Pentagon got yep. back to the president and said, no, 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 no. You don't understand. We're not just doing this so that it's not like a dance, not like a parade down the Champs-Élysées and we're showing off our military there. We have to practice this coordination in case something goes wrong. and we have to test our systems to make sure that in case of global conflict, we're able to talk to the other sides. Otherwise, we're going to lose. And the president, you know, understood that, or at least let them, you know, let the Pentagon boys do what the Pentagon boys had to do. And that's why Kim Jong-un is all mad. So I'm kind of glad he's mad, and he's, you know, throwing warheadless missiles up into the air, and, you know, it makes Japan unhappy, and we got to figure all that out too. But you know what I'm going to say right now is that the market's kind of back, and John Najarian, which you can see he and his brother, you can see him and his brother, I should say, on the the halftime report, and
CNBC's halftime report, 11 a.m. Central Time every day.
Right.
I'll be back there on Thursday. I'll be flying back home tomorrow.
How many frequent flyer miles do you have, John?
No, 7 million the last time I looked.
7 million. There you go. That's why he's. That's why the next thing you know, he's on a Greek island biting the head off a crustacean. Thank you, John Najarian.
Living the life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Roel.
See you, John.
Give my best to everybody. Thanks.
I will. Thank you.
There he goes. All right. Let's now check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the news at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
One committee job lost, one gain for an indicted state senator.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Yeah. Now, let me just say something here.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right now, next door, over in the, I got to find it here.
Hmm.
Stay with me, CLTNV. Oh, they're not even with me right now. Kevin is doing the post-game show for the White Sox.
Yeah, no big deal.
And I just, what I want to do is I want to eavesdrop on how he's doing.
And then we can grade him.
Uh-huh.
And maybe make fun of him later.
Right. Exactly.
Good idea.
So
great.
They're in a commercial right now? That sucks. Why aren't we always in commercials? Oh, yeah, we are always in commercials. Cover me. Cover me. I'm going in. I think I found it. No, I didn't.
I bet Kevin is doing a fine job.
I don't
and
know about that.
Representing us well.
I
doing
doubt that.
His normal, excellent, committed.
Classic Kevin.
Yeah. You know Kev. Right. He takes this stuff seriously. He's not messing around in there.
Let's see what this is.
Apartment buildings.
Okay, yeah, all right, this is commercial.
Right. I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
We will need to check in.
Yeah, let's see what we got going here.
Then we can make them feel bad.
Yeah.
We can say, why'd you use that word?
The Jersey, Gold Coast, and Delray.
Why'd you describe it that way?
Wait, what?
No, well, we would ask him questions, make him feel uncomfortable.
Well, no, we can't. He's not going to know that we're...
No, I mean later when he comes back to the show.
I see, yes. And not realize that we did this to him?
Right.
Okay, this is going to be his clothes coming up here. We're going to grade him on his clothes.
See how he does. Finish strong or
I don't think Lauren likes
lukewarm.
The idea of this because we're, I think, you know, she feels a kindred spirit with him.
Like we're spying on him?
Yeah.
And that we could do it to her, too. That wouldn't
I
be
mean,
cool.
When it comes to, you know, the adults and kids, that is my team.
More mature.
So.
Well, it's a very mature thing we're doing as the adults here. That one of the most common sources.
I'm sorry, what was the question from the control room? I can't...
We're too busy trying to spy on Kevin to deal with...
I'm spying on Kevin right now. It's still, and now I got a commercial. There's so many commercials on this.
It's a really easy job he's got over there. Yeah, really, I'm doing the post-game show. Sounds really great. Until you listen.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. Everybody can help. That's right. All right. This guy's got to be coming back here, right? All right.
Here we go. That sounds like an open music.
Yeah, here comes Kevin right now.
A 5-3 White Sox victory in game one of a doubleheader in Detroit. I'm Kevin Powell. You've been listening to the WGN White Sox post-game show. More baseball coming up later on this afternoon at 5:35. Thank you to Chris DeFlores, Dave Lazowski, Curtis Koch, Jake Hassan for their work all afternoon on the Sox game and in the post-game show as well. Mm-hmm. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis,
I don't think you pronounced my name right.
You've been listening to the WGN White Sox Radio Network.
Chicago White Sox.
It was a strong finish, I gotta say.
I don't think so.
Well, let's find something to pick on him for.
I mispronounced my name. All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis live right here on 720 WGN Chicago. We were just spying on Kevin's final words there.
See how he did.
I think he mispronounced my name. I'll
be honest.
I don't think
so.
No.
Correctly pronounced. No, he pronounced it right.
I think he got it wrong.
Well, come. Let's ask him. That's not, how would he get that wrong? What did he say?
I think it was like, I think he missed, it wasn't like the ah sound, it was the uh sound, which, you know, perilous.
Rokan?
Yeah.
Which I didn't hear it.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That would be a little nitpicky to bring up that.
I'm just saying. I just heard it. That's all. I mean, and I'm not above being nitpicky because I'm, you know, he's on
no,
the
you're
network.
Very good at Detroit, though, correctly
yeah,
pronounced,
yeah,
as Lauren pointed
Detroit.
Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I got
it. Some pronunciation.
I got that
right.
All right. Is it, Kevin now is being. This is interesting. Kevin is actually now being taken out. They put a towel around him. They're rubbing him. You know, he's wearing a big satin robe,
oh.
And he's walking off now. And he's gonna do some interviews in the locker room after the post game show.
I thought I nailed your name, Ro. How could I ever mispronounce
you
your name?
I don't think you did.
Rokan.
How did you mess that up?
Yeah, it sounded like a bad word without a T, is what it sounded like to me.
Oh, come on.
I'll work on it. I'll get some reps in.
You might want to do that. I thought, you know, you fought to a draw today, and I think that was okay.
Okay. I'll take it.
We were spying on you to see if we could catch you messing up and then make fun of you later, but I actually think you had a very strong finish, Kevin.
Oh, thank you, and I appreciate that.
The three judges. This is like dancing with the one star.
You can still make
star.
Fun of me, Anna. Feel free.
Yeah. Lauren, how do you think you did?
Lauren? Lots of energy at the end. I liked it.
Thank you, Lauren.
You're
feel like Carrie Ann and Abba. Why don't you start crying about it?
Now tell me something nice about me.
Your traffic reports were just phenomenal after
you weren't listening. How would you know?
Well, they come in during the Sox game, don't they, sometimes?
No.
In the post-game show, there was something that I heard your voice, and it was wonderful.
I did have to do a post-game traffic.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It was great.
There you go.
Hmm.
Got everybody home safe.
All right. Well, I'm glad everybody is.
Very complimentary today.
But it's all good. All right. Well, now, are you back?
I'm back.
All right. And then what time do we have to leave again?
5:30.
5:30, okay. So we got a good 90 minutes here that we're going to have some fun with.
Okay.
It's going to include, let's see here. Oh, the state treasurer.
This is interesting.
Unclaimed property is being auctioned off.
Including a diamond-encrusted lady's watch, an 1854 Indian Princess $3 gold coin.
That's fine.
1893 World's Columbian Exposition tickets. We've got those.
All right. We will talk to him, and then we've got fun with alligators. They just won't stop here in this town.
How many Chicagoans, just for the record, own alligators?
Where's Ivanka Trump on this?
Seriously.
All right, we'll get to all of that, but first let me tell you that the Chicago stories are told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio and tune in. Kim Gordon's got the news. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
I think we need to head to the Illinois State Fair. It's going to be a really big auction down there, I understand. A lot of valuable items unclaimed by Illinois residents all be on display there, ready for you to bid on.
Well, the treasurer is with us.
He'll tell us.
Ask the treasurer. We've been through so many treasurers, I'm not even exactly sure. But Mike Ferricks is the current treasurer who's in charge of this gigantic. When you got this job, Mike, you must have thought to yourself, hey, I'm going to go into that big vault where all the unclaimed crap is. And I'm just going to walk through, and I'm just going to bathe myself in it. Like, you know, like when you, those pirate movies, right? Where they throw themselves in a chest, and then, you know, there's beads and coins. I like the idea of that. Is that how that worked with you?
Not quite that way. It is an interesting vault, but everything inside the vault is put away in packages. It's in individual safes within the large safe. So there's no swimming through piles of coins.
What's the value of all the stuff you're currently holding that you don't have owners for?
Oh, well, our total property we have is about $3 billion. This auction coming up on the 17th, though, we estimate a value of about $150,000.
How about we just go with this? The state needs the money. We just go, hey, whatever, you got 24 hours to figure it out. What if we don't have it 24 hours?
That doesn't seem fair.
It's ours.
That's not right.
Oh, I guess not.
No, we hold on to it forever. It's one of the toughest parts of my job is giving away money. People think that sounds funny, but just imagine, Ro, you went home and you got a letter in the mail that said the state of Illinois wants to give you $1,000. Please just submit some information. What would your response be?
I would love to do it, but it's not so easy to. At least our experience with this, we've all tried this at some point in our lives because there's always something. And you're never quite sure what it is. You have to get the notification of what it's. You just know by going to the website that you're owed something of value, and then you go and you find out, you know, from your office. But then to actually reclaim it, there's like a 3-step process, isn't there?
We have cut down on those steps. I got tired of hearing people say, "Oh, you've got my money. Go ahead and keep it. It's too much of a hassle."
Right.
So we have removed a lot of the hassles. We've used the power of the internet to do searches on people so they don't have to send as much documentation. We're actually doing a database match with another state department to see if we know an address. In some cases, we'll just mail checks. And so last year, we smashed a record. We returned nearly $250 million to people and businesses in Illinois.
That's huge.
It was the largest amount in 57-year history of the program.
All right, if you think you're owed money, where do you go?
Go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov. You can click on iCash. Put your name in our database. We find about 1 in 4 people who go to our website find we have something for them.
Wait.
But if we don't have something for you, check for your family. Maybe your parents, your grandparents left something behind and you were unaware of it. Check for your siblings. Wouldn't it be a great thing to do to call your brother you haven't talked to for a while and tell him you found money for him?
Wait, IllinoisTreasurer.gov/.
Yep.
Slash?
iCash, letter I-C-A-S-H, or you can click on the iCash or unclaimed property buttons on our site. It will give you a little database. You put your name in there. If you've got a fairly common name, you might want to put an address in as well. If your name is more unique, just put your name in. See what we have. You put your last name in. We might even find something for your relatives.
See here.
Hey, my name came up.
Did yours?
Yeah. Hold on.
I'm checking mine right now.
Hold on. Hey, I got it. Mine already popped up. All right,
here
we go. I got... Let's see, I got under $100 from a sole owner.
Yeah.
I think that was under $100. You can file online. You won't have to mail it in anything.
And then I got my insurance company owes me under $100.
They do?
Yeah. Oh, I think that's very
sometimes someone will cancel a policy and they are owed money back. You get a check in the mail and it looks like junk mail. You think, well, they just didn't get the message when I switched and checks get thrown away, but the insurance company doesn't get to keep that money. If they can't get it to you, if you don't cash it, they turn it over to us, and then it's my job to get it into your hands.
Okay, so what happens if some of the things you auction off later this month and at the Illinois State Fair, what if later on someone determines, hey, that was an heirloom? I've just figured it out that it fell in your hands, and we're missing it now. What happens?
Well, they will be out of luck. They won't get that heirloom back, but they will get the full value that it sold for at auction. So if the heirloom sells for $500 and they come back to us 10, 20, 50 years from now, they will get $500. That's why we want to get a lot of people to this auction. We want to get bidding wars. We want to get a good price for it so that someone does come and wants to claim the contents of the safe deposit box, we've gotten a good price for them.
There's a bunch of people stand around.
A live auction. It's not like that, is it? People are bidding?
No, this is a live auction. We'll have an auctioneer. People will be raising paddles in the air. This is something that Judy Bartopinka did when she was treasurer at the State Fair.
God bless her.
And when I came into office, some people asked me if I'd bring it back. They really enjoyed it. Judy loved the State Fair, and we thought this would be a great tradition to start again, and this is our fourth year doing it.
So grab a funnel cake, bro, and head over there and have an Orange Julius, and then start bidding.
Let me shake up, ride the ride.
What am I bidding on?
What is there that's juicy? What can you tell us?
Well, it depends what your interests are. We have something for everyone. We have coins. We have currency. We have stamps, sports memorabilia. We have jewelry. As a Cub fan, I'm personally interested in a baseball signed by all the members of the 1984 Chicago Cubs team. So you have Ryan Sandberg sign that. That was his MVP year. Rick Sutcliffe, Cy Young Award winner that year. I don't know how much other people value, but that's the one I find most interesting. But if you're a coin collector, we have a $3 Indian head Indian princess coin from 1854. I was unaware before I saw this that we ever minted $3 coins.
Oh, I'd like a $3 coin.
Me too.
What's a $3 coin go for?
About $3, but if you're a collector, I think we'll go for we'll probably fetch something significantly higher than that It's an interesting one. We have tickets from the 1893 World Columbian Exposition World's Fair. Mm-hmm. We have 18-karat gold jewelry with sapphires. There really is something for everyone. When you go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov, you can also click on our auction and see pictures of a lot of these things. And if you think you might want to bid on it, you think you might want to come to the State Fair, auction starts at 11 a.m., but we'll have a preview for 2 hours beforehand.
Okay. All right, now, I just, while we were talking.
Did a little search on your name?
I did, and I just submitted my claim. Now, but it says here, mm-hmm. you have completed the first step in big cash.
Yeah, sounds complicated.
You should be getting an email.
In reclaiming your property. Your claim is not yet complete.
Oh, gee.
Go to our how-to page for additional instructions. All right, I guess
you'll be able to do it all online. We don't want people claiming your money. So we want to make sure we're sending it to the right address and in fact you.
Yeah.
People sometimes don't like the steps they have to take, but I can tell you what they dislike even more is us giving their money to someone else.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and complete this whole thing by the bottom of the hour and see if I can do it. And that, I think, will give people great hope. Don't you, Mike? Don't you, Treasurer?
I do. If you will tell people that this is completed, we will get the check to you by the end of the hour. But we can get the whole process completed and hopefully mailed to you within a week.
Oh.
All right.
We actually have a texter who said that they claimed that I got two checks from them last year, and another one said I had $900 coming. Got it in less than 2 weeks. So that's good.
Yeah, like I said, we've made some changes using the power of the Internet, doing some public database sharing. That's really, I mean, when I came in, we returned, I think, our first year, about $150 million.
Mm-hmm.
We set a record. The next year, $155. Mm-hmm. Next year, $189. And this year, just sort of smashed it because of some of our changes, about $239 million we're able to give back. I got the best job in state government.
Yeah, it's not bad. Michael, the other thing is, it seems like most people would know that they have money coming, but these are like, what, insurance policies that return some sort of a premium? Or what are the kinds of things do you have here that most people would maybe not keep track of and be surprised that they actually have?
Well, some people actually forget bank accounts. Some people don't collect their last paycheck. But maybe you were owed a rebate or a refund from a company and it came to your house or went to the wrong address or it looked like junk mail and you threw it away. A lot of money we return come from life insurance policies. Hmm. People take out policies and don't always tell their beneficiaries. So when they die, they don't claim it, but we think that if you buy a policy and you make your premium payments, when you die, someone should receive that money. It shouldn't stay with the insurance company. So we've returned hundreds of millions of dollars in life insurance benefits.
Okay, so I'm going to get this email, and I'm going to have to, it says here that I have to then get a copy of my photo identification, my state driver's license I can use, right? And
if you have fast track as an option, you can skip that. We will have someone reach out to you and
no, I don't
get
want it. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I don't want to. I want to do this. I want to do this like anybody else would be doing this. I want to see how this works. It says you also need a social security copy of my social security card. I don't. You know who has a copy of their social security card?
Nobody.
We need to make sure that's a little clearer that you don't have to. If it's under $100, we have waived that requirement. You should be able to do this completely online without mailing us anything.
All right, I'm going to try that again.
Wait, so if you don't have it, but what if it's over $100?
Now, if it's over $500, we request a little more security. You'll need to mail some stuff to us. But for under $500, that's one of the things we get with Fast Track. You know, if you were to do, if you were to go to get a mortgage and they do a credit check on you, the bank, through the power of the Internet, knows all kinds of things about you.
Right.
They know where you worked, where you lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so since this information is available online, we just started using that. We'll do a LexisNexis search to verify that you did live that that location and save you from mailing in a copy of an old power bill or utility bill that you used to have to send in.
Yeah.
And you do require a social security number you have to put in your site, but I suppose you secure that and that we should feel very comfortable giving all of this data you're asking us to give.
You should. We do need a social security number. We secure that. We know how valuable that is. But at the same time, there are people out there with similar names, but a social security number is how we identify it as exactly the proper owner.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I think I'm feeling pretty. I think I'm feeling good about this. I'm feeling good about my new treasurer. I'm feeling good. I got a lot.
You got coming, Ro?
Yeah, I don't know. I got two things under $100. So
it could be $2 each.
Yes. I think it's likely to be something like that. But whatever. I mean, it's something, right? I mean, it's.
When Mayor Lightfoot went out to New York City to be interviewed by Stephen Colbert, he was a former Chicago resident. We had $16 for Stephen Colbert that Mayor Lightfoot delivered the information to him on his set.
Nice. He claim it?
All right. Very good.
I don't think he's claimed it yet. Apparently, $16 wasn't a big enough incentive for him to go to our website.
Funny thing.
All right. All right, Mike. Enjoy yourself at the... have a funnel cake. As Anna said,
mm-hmm. And Orange Julius, those are my favorite.
Lick the butter cow. I like to go down and do that. they get mad.
My daughter is 10. She likes going. We'll probably end up on some rides. And I think eating so much fried food and then going on a roller coaster is not a good idea.
Doesn't work out well.
In the other order.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. That's probably right.
Well, yeah, so hopefully some of your listeners will go check our website, illinoistreasurer.gov, if they're interested. State Fair, August 17th, 11 a.m., live auction.
You
might even see me auctioning off that baseball.
Excellent. Thank you. Mike Frericks, who is the Illinois State Treasurer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Kim down, find out what's happening in the news other than the fact that I'm getting $2 back.
A hospital in the south suburbs that planned to close has now declared bankruptcy.
Sorry about that. I didn't have a sneezing attack. Instead, I just had sort of a reading attack. I've got something else here. Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe. Mike Matera and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right. Coming up, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News after we tell you about a couple of other important things that our sponsors would like you to know about. And then a top five at 5. And then, Kevin, do you go back into the pregame booth for
my White Sox duties are done for the day.
Oh, they are done.
Andy Mays are standing by.
Oh. See, like they brought in the A-team then.
Tag team situation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very well done. I thought you did a very nice job.
Yeah, you sound very sincere, Ro.
That's not what you said.
I completely believe you.
I don't. I didn't. I actually don't think you did such a great job, I'll be honest.
Because he didn't pronounce your name right?
Yeah. Do we have that?
Roy Cohn?
Yeah. Do we have
your name right?
That was the president's lawyer at one time. Roy Cohn. Citizen Cohn. No relation. Do we have this? Because I have proof positive that you mispronounced my name in the postgame show.
Okay.
Just saying. Although it is true that Ed Farmer did once mispronounce my name.
Early on in
our White Sox relationship before we had met each other. He did say, Roy Cohn's coming up right after with your phone call.
Your calls.
Did you take calls that day?
I did not take calls that
day. On purpose.
Yeah, but he did say Roy Cohn. But I think it was quickly corrected.
Yeah.
But he's an historian guy. Like, he's very interested in, he likes history. So I think he just thought, isn't that funny? There's a talk show, his name's Roy Cohn. Turns out it wasn't.
No.
All right, hold on. Here's Kevin Powell. You just tell me, was this mispronounced or mispronounced?
More baseball coming up later on this afternoon at 5:35. Thank you to Chris DeFlores, Dave Lazowski, Curtis Koch, Jake Hassan for their work all afternoon on the Sox game and in the post-game show as well. Ro Cohn, Anna DeVlanta standing by on WGN.
No.
That kind of sounds weird.
It sounds weird.
I kind of like tripped on it.
Yeah.
Ro Cohn.
I think it sounds fine.
I thought it sounded okay.
Okay, all right, fine. I just want to say my whole family's offended. And so is Roy Cohn's family.
He got Zaslowski out perfectly.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get this right, could you? Didn't I take you first class to Phoenix, Arizona, so you could learn more about the White Sox? Didn't I do that?
You did. First class both ways. A good trip. Sorry, Ro Cohn.
I almost did create a certain amount of brain damage on that trip as well.
So now it sounds like you said Ro Cohn.
Ro Cohn.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking. A combo of Ro Cohn and Ro Cohn.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Roquan.
Or Roquan Smith. Yeah.
Now you like it, don't you?
Yeah. No, I'm starting to really like it.
When's Ro Cohn take your call?
All right, here we go. Stand by. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News. I got her name right. Coming your way in 2 minutes.
I get up in the evening, and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired.
You hear that time being kept right there? You hear that?
Very nice.
That's the incomparable Max Weinberg, who's just getting into a car accident, as we're calling him.
You okay, Max?
Yeah, I'm fantastic whenever I talk to you guys. Ro, Anna, how are you doing today?
Couldn't be better. One of the greatest rock and roll drummers in the history of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. You got to be in the top three as far as I'm concerned. But I can't
tell. That's nice.
Yes, and it's true. You're also the only one I know. All right, now here's the deal. People got to
give you a rim shot if I had a drumstick.
I'll give it right back to you.
We have it handy.
Max Weinberg's jukebox is pulling in to the City Winery on August 23rd. Now, I will say this, Max Weinberg, if there are people in the sound of my voice who have not seen this show yet, this is one of the most fun evenings of music you're ever going to have, because it's Max and his band, which is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And they do almost anything you can imagine. You put up all these songs up on it. It's a rolling list of songs that you see on screens. And then people just call them out, and then they just play them. And it's the damnedest thing I have ever seen.
Well, it's all that bar band training from New Jersey, and the guys and I love it. People, as you say, well, you've seen it. People just call out the songs. It could be anything from the Beatles to the Stones to Bruce to the English Invasion bands from the 60s and 70s, Led Zeppelin, the Eagles. It's incredibly eclectic. And we've done about 2.5 years' worth of shows, which is about 150 shows. It's really a fun evening. It's not a concert. It's a party, particularly at a City Winery where they serve adult beverages. And I encourage people to come down and just have a good time.
Yeah. It is. There's a difference watching the greats play other people's music, because there's a certain, I don't know, respect, I think, especially for those songs that you've got in that list, which is, like you mentioned, it's the greatest bands in the history of rock and roll and the greatest songs in the history of rock and roll. And when you hear these guys actually do it, it is like it's not like seeing the band itself, but it's seeing just a really great homage. Not like a tribute band or anything like that. You're seeing other rock stars. Don't you love that in a concert? And Bruce does this every once in a while. He'll play something that is not a Bruce Springsteen song. You're like, wow, what a great interpretation.
Amazing.
Well, you know, we do respect the songs. And what this is, and I love the actual tribute bands, because so many of those groups aren't playing anymore.
Yeah.
The music is still so fantastic, and there's, a proliferation of tribute bands around. What we do, if we're tributing anything, it's the era. It's the era that I grew up in, the songs that I listened to become a drummer. And when you're doing that, you know, you kind of geek out and you listen to all the little parts and all the little, things that you might not notice if you weren't, in my case, a drummer. And you try to pay homage to those little things. When I was in my, room with my record player, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners remember records. You know, the new Beatles song, every 3 months they would come out with a new song, a single. And as a drummer, you try to, capture what Ringo, in this case, was playing. And if not the exact lick, then certainly the fun and the enthusiasm that he was obviously putting on those records, in my case. And so that's it. You know, if you take this material seriously, which, for example, in the E Street Band, we do to an extreme degree where, Bruce and the E Street Band always put their spin on it. Bruce puts his spin on some of the classic songs we play that he didn't write, although his songs have turned into classic songs, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you want to play them with the right groove and the right tempo. And little parts that, when you sat there learning them, guitar players or bass players, keyboard players, for example, someone once said to me, there are no 13th chords in Hold On, I'm Coming, which is the Sam and Dave great soul song. And it's a 3-chord song. And those 3 chords, so many people have made careers out of those 3 chords. But what I like about the jukebox is it's two guitars, bass, and drums, which, of course, is the Beatles lineup and kind of the classic mid-60s instrumentation. So even and there's no keyboard. So even without a keyboard, you there are so many songs to play, and we've gotten to the point where we not only play what's on the list. If one guy in the band knows the song, we'll give it a shot. And that's happened quite often. Hmm. And the guys I'm playing with, they know every song. Bob Berger, Glenn Burtnick, John Rajavi. And we've been playing together for about 3 years. And they know every song. And if, as I said, one guy knows it, everybody else can fill in. And that's the Jersey bar band experience. But
and everybody's got a
Chicago,
different sonic singing capability, actually. And so
these guys sing like Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
They sing like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They play like The Ventures, which is a cultural reference. Quentin Tarantino would appreciate that, reference to The Ventures. And so, it's all there. And it's couched in, if there's a song that reminds me of something, I'll tell the story. What I like about doing this show is I get very up close with the audience. I get to kind of use my TV chops, speaking and commenting on things as they're sort of happening in real time. And it's very different. When I'm in the E Street Band, I'm back there playing the drums. And I'm always the guy that's slightly out of focus behind Bruce's right shoulder. I'm back there. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're watching him. And this allows me to sort of step out from behind the drums. And I love doing it in Chicago. We've played Chicago many times. In fact, the whole concept started in Evanston when I was booked into Space in Evanston. And Mark Stein, my friend and manager, suggested this concept. It was his idea. We had a set we were going to play with this group. And he said, why don't you, you always like playing the old rock and roll songs. Why don't you play a couple songs and then just throw it up in the audience to see what they want to hear.
Yeah. Well, Stump the Band concept.
And like Gangbusters.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like Stump the Band, and these guys can't be stopped.
Right.
Well, one of the
and they can't be stumped.
You nailed it, though, Max. One of the things that's so cool about this concert is that you get off the stage, you start mingling in the crowd and talking to people, and you're just having so much fun with it. There's that interactive nature of it that it's a blast. Like you said, it turns into a party where you're just talking to folks.
Thank
and everybody's
you.
Interacting with you. I love it. I mean, the music's amazing.
Well, thank you. And that is the idea. In a concert, kind of conjures up the image of, the band plays and the audience listens. What I try to do, and I learned it from just the excitement I got from Buddy Rich, the great jazz drummer, was to excite the audience and incite them to come out and be emotional, to connect. And with this show, every single song. There's no bathroom breaks because every single song, and you've heard them 1,000 times. And like I said before, if they're played with respect for the song and the era, I grew up in that era, so I know how to play like a 60s drummer because I was. I wasn't that good, if memory serves me. I can tell you.
It worked out. I think it worked out all right for you, Max Weinberg. I really did.
If I may, I'll tell you a story that that experience really came in handy about, must have been 6-7 years ago. David Chase created The Sopranos, did his first movie, his first full-length movie, and it was about his experiences as a young drummer in New Jersey. And his father, in a rock band, so Steve Van Zandt did all the music naturally. And we were in the studio recording the soundtrack for this movie. And it was me, Gary Talent, Steve played guitar, and a friend of ours, Bobby Bandiera. And so it was a Rolling Stones song, and we're playing it. We sound fine. We sound like us. And David says, wait a minute, you guys are too good. What do you mean? You got to sound like a 15-year-old who is struggling to play the best he can, but he's really not that good yet. And instantaneously, the four of us went right back to 1964, 65, and played like we were kids, where we weren't seasoned professionals, which, thankfully we became, but it was still in there, the ability to kind of screw up a little bit. It was very kind of interesting.
I think, you know, when people see this show, they are going to be absolutely blown away by not only the musicality of it, but also just the fun you're going to have.
Yeah.
It's just, I walk That's away it. From that. I've seen the show. I saw the first one you did at Space in Evanston. That was show one, and this will be show 156 or whatever of this. And it's gotten better every time, but it is also just an amazing, fun night. So if you want to go see it, City Winery, you can get your tickets at citywinery.com. It's August 23rd. That is 2 weeks from Friday, right? Is that correct? That is correct. 2 weeks
That's
from Friday.
Correct. Yeah, we actually start up on Saturday in California, work our way up the West Coast, and then we'll be in Davenport, Iowa, and then coming back to Chicago at the end of August. And I love Chicago.
I just want to make sure that you're
well when I'm in Chicago.
Max, I just want to make sure you're not being eaten by a monster. Because it sounds
something
to me
going on back
like
there.
something is. Yeah.
Oh, what is that?
I'm actually, we're having major rain down here where I live in Florida. So I'm shopping. I'm actually shopping. And
in the mall?
I still go to the mall.
There's a wild animal in the mall?
I haven't been here in a year, but
yeah.
It's a little child. It's a little child, and so that's where I'm calling from. Can you hear that?
Yeah,
sounds like an echo chamber in here.
Yeah. Wait, is that one of you? Is that child related in any way to you?
No.
All right.
No, actually, one of my children is playing, headlining the Des Moines, the Iowa State Fair. My son Jay plays with Slipknot, and we're going out there on Friday. They're playing Saturday. I start next week in California, so we're going to catch Slipknot at the Iowa State Fair, which should be a lot of very interesting because that's where they're from, and they usually get hundreds of thousands of people at this fair.
Yeah,
so it should be a really, really fun weekend for us. But please, everybody, come on out and say hello at August 23rd at City Winery.
You got it. We'll see you then, Max. Thanks very much.
Max.
Appreciate it,
guys. Good to talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
I swear to God, I thought that was a pterodactyl in back of him.
It sounded like an animal, like it did, like he was at the zoo.
Yeah.
But just the echo of a child's voice at the mall in Florida.
Mm-hmm. All right. And his son is in Slipknot. Things that we did. Isn't that the band that
you
almost killed
learn
you?
Something.
Lauren
yes.
Lapka?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
How did you almost die from Slipknot?
In the mosh pit, right?
Yeah, they rushed the stage. The crowd rushed the stage, and I got squished in between a bunch of people, and I got squished so hard that I bruised three ribs and had to be rescued by a giant man pushing the two people apart.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That was brutal.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe for a month.
There you go. And that's where, that's why you're not going to go to Slipknot show. You'd be better off going to the show featuring Max Weinberg's Jukebox. There will be no rushing of the stage. Although, actually, there is rushing of that stage.
No,
at
really?
The end, he has like an all call and people come up from the audience and play. He gives them all an instrument, and they play. It's the damnedest thing you've ever seen. And you're on stage playing with Max Weinberg.
Right.
And the Weaklings, which
How
is the name
cool
of that other band. They're amazing. All right, let me do this. Let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the top of the hour.
The FBI is now investigating the mass shooting in Ohio.
I'm assuming that means something.
That long pause.
Say
something.
I don't see anything that it means, but I am sure that it means something. All right. We had a little technical. Not like a, we're good at technicals around here these days.
Classic technical difficulty.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. All right. Does this mean that I would tell the people that Kim Gordon's news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is coming up in 2 minutes? Okay, well, then that's what I'm going to tell you. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
720 WGN Chicago, WGN everywhere, and everywhere else you can find us on the World Wide Web. It is 5 o'clock, so it's time for...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5, let's go! 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes!
Yes!
Get on with it!
Checking in at
number 5.
Our friend Adam Kinzinger is having second thoughts about his position on gun control. after the mass shootings in El Paso and in Dayton. He says it is time to change some gun laws. And he says, screw partisan politics. He was on TMZ Live, so he can say things like that.
You're allowed to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Earlier today, he discussed the weekend shootings and why it has now compelled him to do an about-face on two key points of gun control. He now supports universal background checks and a House measure he voted against earlier this year, which raises the gun purchasing age from 18 to 21.
This was part of that, what can we agree on, not what can we disagree on. It was really just, this happens over and over. You know, there's a political component, and I've gotten to the point where I don't care about the politics of it. This may hurt me politically. It may help me politically. I don't know. I don't really care. But I looked at it and said, okay, on whether we ban assault weapons, that's a debate that's not going to be solved today. What can we solve today? I think it makes sense to say raising the age to 21 of purchase. It makes sense to say background checks for everybody. And it makes sense to say if you have a 100-round ammo clip, that's probably a bit excessive.
Okay.
Gee, I mean, that's great. So, you know, he's stepping forward and saying, regardless of what this means for my party or my politics, that these things make sense, and these are things we can come together on. That's a welcome piece of information at this moment to start.
Yeah, it's funny because he and I were friends before he was a congressman, and I have always supported, you know, him running, and we get along on a lot of the issues. But the one thing we always are in disagreement on is gun control.
Right.
And I've been out shooting with him and his brother and his, you know, and his family and stuff. I mean, I'm not like a gun grabbing guy. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that people have the right to bear arms. But there have to be common sense restrictions on this. The weapons that, as you said, a 100-round clip is really unnecessary.
Seems excessive.
And the problem with a 100-round clip, they go, well, it's not the clip that's killing the people, it's the shooter. Yeah, I get it. But he can kill more people. I mean, at some point, we have to turn around and look at the victims here. Not just look at the law. Look at the victims. And if you have this ability to go out and to do that much damage, is this guy in Dayton. I mean, I think this is why the Dayton shooting, even though it was less deadly than that in El Paso, the Dayton shooting, I think, is because it was stopped in 30 seconds and still you had 9 people dead.
Gee.
That and, you know, 30 people total shot. 41 shots got off in 22 seconds. That's before this guy was stopped. Engaged, at least, and then dead within 30 seconds.
You now have the Ohio governor, who's a Republican, backed by the NRA, also coming to the table saying, hey, I have 17 proposals for what you could call gun control measures.
Yeah. I mean, the argument is, if they didn't do anything after Sandy Hook, why would they do something now?
Right. Well, yes.
But you know, it's, you know, maybe it just takes time. And, I mean, you know, and the funny thing about this is that Donald Trump, I don't think, necessarily has a horse in this fight, which is the wrong analogy. But I don't think he normally, you know, his kids are the ones who like to go hunting. He's not like a big gun guy or a hunting guy or any of that sort of stuff. And at least that's according to him. And I think he would be open to it. And it would be an opportunity for, he'd be the only president who might be able to get this across the finish line because he's seen as such a tough guy. It's like when Lyndon Johnson got civil rights across the finish line when he was a Dixiecrat, right? You know, a Southern Democrat, which is not exactly, were in favor, the exact opposite of in favor of civil rights back in the 1960s. So this is an opportunity, I think, for everybody, and maybe the congressman sees that. He'll be joining us tomorrow on the program, whether he knows it or not yet.
Number 4.
Siegfried and Roy are speaking out for the first time since the Tiger attack ended their famous Las Vegas show. It was in 2003 already.
Wow.
16 years ago that this happened, that Roy Horn was dragged by the neck by Montecor, one of their Tigers. And they did an interview with ABC's Deborah Roberts. Siegfried, Roy did not speak. Siegfried disputes a claim by the Tigers trainer who recently claimed that Roy was to blame for the attack.
You're saying that Roy he collapsed even before this happened and that Montecor was trying to help him off stage.
Of course. No, it comes like a stroke is going. That he was dizzy, goes back then, and he said no to him.
Chris says that that is a story to protect the brand. Why do you think he says that?
I have no idea. He had problems with his life anyway. So something you have to, I don't know. I don't know them, what goes on. I just know his life was full of problems.
Hmm.
He's the guy that's...
The said, trainer.
Yeah, the trainer.
Who's kind of put out this information.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys were, you know, they were playing with live animals, right? I mean, these are not wild animals. These are not exactly, you know, this is not a water skiing squirrel act.
No. They understood the dangers better than anyone.
One more.
It was Roy's 59th birthday.
Manticore was waiting to get his jump up Roy's shoulder and get his treat. And Roy was there and he said no to Manticore. No, 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 no. And then Manticore went on top of him and he looked around and he didn't know, like in his face was, what's going on? What do I want? And then he grabbed him and he carried him for Roy. Usually Manticore took. He took Manticore took Roy backstage.
Yeah. Horrified people sitting in the audience who witnessed that too. Yeah. I mean, just the whole thing.
Right.
Oh,
they did show Roy Horn walking around though. But
what
not,
did he didn't speak? Though,
he did not speak.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Some young boys learn a tough lesson about telling the truth.
And then there's this. It's a matinee matchup as Anderson and the Sox look to tame the Tigers in the finale from Detroit. White Sox Tigers Wednesday at noon on WGN TV.
That's right, Detroit.
Detroit.
We're going back to Detroit, actually, in about 15 minutes.
Sure are.
Whether we want to go back to Detroit or not, although the Sox are the Sox look like the Astros in Detroit, so that's good. I like that. All right, here we go. Top five continues.
Number three.
20 years ago today, The Sixth Sense came out. Small indie film. Remember, there was no one had ever heard of M. Night Shyamalan.
No,
you know, like what?
Not then.
What is his name? Emmett. What is his name? Shyamalan. What is that? It's a Bruce Willis movie. That's exactly what I thought. That's my inner voice when I think about these kinds of things.
I don't know what that is.
That's when I'm not sure about something. That's how I sound in my own head. So Bruce Willis plays a child psychologist. Haley Joel Osment is the child he's psychologicalizing. And then there's a twist. Oh, is there a twist?
Oh, boy, that ending.
I want to tell you my secret now. I see dead people.
In your dreams? While you're awake? Dead people, like, in graves and coffins?
Walking around like regular people. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead.
How often do you see them?
All the time.
Yeah.
Screw that movie, man. My mom and sister made me go see that in the theaters.
You were young.
Oh, my God. I was terrified. Because I was old enough to, you know, understand ghosts and whatnot, but not old enough to quite understand that they might not exist. Oh, my God.
Well, and that's one of those movies that I wonder in the internet age if it could really survive. People would just put it out there and you'd see it. Because if you knew that one piece of it, it would ruin
around,
the movie.
Though. It got around. I remember.
Kind of.
I remember seeing it, though, and knowing there was a big twist and everybody kept the twist from me. I saw it like a week after it came out. But then in
you
the
didn't guess it, I bet.
But in the
you?
First scene, I guessed it.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't guess it. And I knew there was a twist.
Because of the way that the characters interacted with each other. Like, oh, yeah.
Did you guess the twist in the crying game?
That he was a she, she was a he?
Yeah, did you know that one?
No, I didn't see that. I saw it. I didn't see that coming. Which is, you know, thank God. All right, checking
number
in.
Number two.
Tori Spelling found herself in an uncomfortable situation on a television interview this morning on the local Fox channel in New York. You know, they're out promoting the new 90210, so she was there with Jenny Garth. And during the interview, Rosanna Scotto, a television legend in New York.
Yeah.
Television and restaurant legend in New York.
Sure. Big Italian family and restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And great restaurant. And so, you know, Rosanna Scotto, she's not going to pull any punches.
Tori, I mean, like, it's got to hit a little close to home when they start talking about financial problems, right?
That was a choice that I made and we made together to put that in there because that's such speculation. Media loves to talk about it.
I know.
So we were like, oh, let's, you know, face them straight on. Let's put it in there.
So the media has been all over your financial troubles. Mm-hmm. Are you experiencing financial troubles? Are you able to, you know,
that's
pay your bills? Pay your bills? No, I mean, just...
Am I able to pay my bills?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I am.
And this show will obviously give you some money in your pocket, right?
Interesting.
She's like a mother-in-law.
We'll use this on the show. We're going to write this into the show. So thank
okay,
you.
Fine. Well, I hope you have another season. That would be great.
I know it would be great.
Oh, God.
That was a little much. Oh, come on.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Come on. Rosanna Scotto.
No, it's not okay. That wasn't okay.
Very New York-y. Very New York-y.
Going to be able to pay your bills.
And it doesn't like an argument with your mother-in-law. Yeah. That's exactly what it sounded like. Why do you want to marry my son?
Number one.
Kevin Bacon may love sweet potatoes, but the Transportation Security Administration does not love sweet potatoes. This is what he had to tell Jimmy Fallon.
I was on my way to L.A., and I knew that I was going to be arriving, you know, in 5 hours, and I knew that in probably 7.5 hours I was going to be hungry. Mm-hmm. And so I saw a nice sweet potato sitting there ready to go, and I just threw it in my suitcase. And, of course, TSA flagged it. As soon as the guy called me over, it's like he was on his way opening. I was like, I think it's my sweet potato.
But you, so you got busted. I love Kevin Bacon just travels with a yam.
Well, listen.
But why didn't you?
I am what I am.
Oh, my God.
It's a bizarre story.
Yeah. Although, imagine what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, when it's going through the x-ray.
I'd flag that.
Yeah, and I think what you also have to do at that moment is, I think that's the point where the TSA person goes, I think that's a dookie in there. I think that's what that is. Look at that.
Ew.
Oh, God, what is that? Is it a body part?
It's 1 degree of separation from Kevin Bacon. Yuck.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know what? Let's close this thing up. Yes.
Yes.
The top five at five.